You lost track of your sanity. I saw how he was fighting to hold back a grin before he managed to school his features into a straight line.
You're lecturing me for what? Being out past sunset?
It's dangerous out here. I curled my hand into a fist, but his hand wormed its way in there and I struggled, pushing against him. I almost groaned, feeling pleasure lace my veins, but I couldn't stop him. His hand got in there, unwound my fist, and his fingers slid alongside of mine. They went slow, acting like a caress. Stop it. But there was no heat to my words. I knew he'd take it as a submission.
Stop what?
His finger rubbed against mine. His free hand cupped the side of my face, and I started to close my eyes. I felt myself leaning into him, letting him hold the weight of me up. Then his thumb ran over my lips, and my eyelids flew open. I was looking into him. He was watching me as if he were waiting for something. I saw the lust there. I knew he wanted me. I could feel between my legs, and just thinking of it, I felt my legs tighten, but he was in there. His gaze darkened. He murmured,
"Morgan."
What? My chest started heaving. I was practically panting. Shivers, tingles, and wanton need coursed through my whole body. I was becoming drugged by him. He continued to watch me, and then suddenly, his need shone prominently, and he shifted. He let go of my hand, but his arms wrapped around me, and he lifted me. I gasped. My legs went around his waist, and he held me there. My arms wound around his neck. I was looking at his lips, wanting to feel them.
"We have a situation here,"
he rasped out. I laughed just a tiny bit. We did indeed.
"I could lay you down here on this path. We could satisfy what we're both wanting right now, or..."
His hand slipped to just under the waistband of my pants. I jerked from the sensation, but he caught me, holding me anchored to him.
"Or..."
His hand slid farther down, resting on the outside of my underwear. I gasped. "There's a water place not far from here." His eyes sparked.
"A pool?"
"It's a hot spring, but not too hot. We should be fine." As if knowing what I was agreeing to with that admission, my mind started to flee. I wanted him as much as he wanted me. We just watched each other. The air thick with tension between us. I didn't know where Shiloh had gone, but I didn't care. I wanted him. I shoved back enough that he let me down, and I led him the rest of the way. It wasn't too far. When he saw the water, his eyes rounded.
"Whoa."
It was a small waterfall. The foliage around it kept it private, and there were rocks jutting out so we could sit and dangle our feet into the water.
"This is beautiful."
He pulled me against him. "This is where I bathe if I don't want to go to the house."
"I can see why. It's amazing."
He looked up. The pines towered high above us, the tops opening to a small circle where we would be able to see the stars in a few minutes.
"Morgan. Wow. Thank you for showing me this."
The need for him was still there, but it ebbed a little. Enough for clear thinking to return and self-consciousness to take hold. But he was right. This pool was like a home, or one of my areas I considered mine. It was the first time I had shown anyone. I stepped back from him, but his hand caught mine. He kept that one area of contact, lacing our fingers together as I stepped into the pool.
"You don't take your clothes off?"
I shook my head. "I keep stuff out here. I'll be fine." He let my hand go, but only to toss his phone and headphones to the side. His shoes and socks were next, then his shorts and underwear. He stood, almost proudly in his nakedness, and gazed at me, watching for my reaction. I didn't shy away. I knew I would be feeling him all over. I was almost trembling, knowing he would be inside me that night. Stepping out of the pool, I traced a hand down his chest, lingering on his waistline, drawing closer to him, and then, as my eyes went to his, I wrapped my hand around him. He gasped silently, but he didn't do anything else. He held still, waiting to see what more I would do. I began to rub my hand over him, softly, going up and down, He closed his eyes, and as I kept caressing him, his head tipped back. His mouth fell open, and he groaned. I rubbed my thumb over the end of him, hearing him hiss for a small second. His body reacted to me, making me feel powerful. He was hard already, but he only got harder and harder as I kept stroking him. My own pleasure was pulsating through me, and before I thought about it, I knelt and took him into my mouth. His head reared forward, his eyes almost black from desire as he watched me. His hands caught the sides of my face and then paused before he pulled my mouth away and guided me back to standing. As if I weighed nothing, he lifted me into his arms and carried me into the water. His mouth found mine. It wasn't like anything I'd felt. A graze of his lips over mine. It was a tingle, spreading through me, and before I realized it, I acquired a thirst for him. I wanted more of this touch, and somehow I knew after this first kiss, I would always hunger for him. He whispered,
"Not this time. Later. Trust me. Later."
His eyes held so many promises as he pulled back to look me in the eyes. I nodded, my legs tightening around his waist. I felt him moving, seeking me out, and if I didn't have my pants on, he would have sunk into me already.
"God, Morgan,"
he panted softly, sinking into the water and moving so my back was resting against one of the softer banks.
"You have no idea how much I've thought about this."
A hand slipped under my shirt so he could pull it off. I didn't wear a bra, and after tossing the fabric aside, he grasped one of my breasts, his hand cupping it fully. His thumb went over my nipple, almost teasing me like I had with him. His mouth found mine again, pressing to me. I shuddered in his arms. His lips opened over mine, and his tongue swept in. I was kissing him back, relishing every taste of him. I was moving in his arms, grinding against him. I wanted to be just as naked as he was. His hand ran the length of me, a soft rub, and tingles trailed behind. He went to my waistline and paused, curling his fingers around my pants.
"Is this your first?"
I shook my head. A drunken mistake at a barn party once. It was stupid. His eyes softened and his hold on my pants gentled too. He began to peel them down, trailing kisses over the length of me as he went, pausing between my breasts. He kissed both of them, his tongue licking, teasing me briefly before he continued. As my pants and underwear were pulled from my legs, his mouth explored my stomach before moving lower and pausing right over my opening. He looked up at me. The same dark promise there as before.
"This won't be a stupid mistake, I promise."
I nodded. I already knew. There was something about Brody that made me not regret anything. Regret seeking him out, regret looking out for him, regret feeling myself being pulled more and more into their world. Regret following him tonight, even his stupid mistake of going too far and for too long. I wouldn't regret not stopping his run earlier than when I did. I leaned down, my hands raking through his hair as I pulled him up to me. He stretched out, half on top of me, but I felt him nudging me. He went to slide inside, but he held back, waiting. I nodded, letting my lips brush over his. "Yes." I opened my mouth and he was inside me. He pushed all the way in and I gasped, feeling him fully. He held still, letting me get used to him, then his lips brushed over mine again.
"Yes,"
he repeated my word, grinning against my lips. I felt my own matching grin, but I kissed him, opening my mouth against his.
"God,"
he breathed out right before he began moving. I closed my eyes, my head fell back. He thrust in deep before pulling almost all the way out, only to slide back in. He started a rhythm, but I was moving with him. I wrapped my legs around his hips, my ankles locking behind his back. I wanted him to go faster and harder.
"Morgan,"
he whispered my name, his hips thrusting into me. He dropped a kiss to my throat, his tongue tasting me there. I wanted him to keep going. I was riding with him, our bodies straining against each other. There was something so frenzied about our movements, primal. Then he paused. A raw tenderness came over him, and he began to explore my body again with his lips. He kissed me everywhere, and I gasped, feeling my inside straining for him to keep going. I needed that release. But he chuckled, knowing the torment he was enacting on me. Brody, I gasped, pushing against him. His eyes were dancing. He lifted his head to look down to me.
Hmm?
You're driving me mad. I reached down, grasping his hips, and I began moving him. If he didn't start again, I growled from frustration.
What?
He was laughing. I smacked him on the chest, but then pushed so he was the one lying on the bank. I rose up, getting my feet under me for better position, and lowered myself back onto him. He went in deep, and I stilled. His hand came up my back, holding me, and I half leaned backward, letting him touch me. I savored the feel of him in me and began to move. I was in control and could push down as far as I wanted, which was all the way. When I did, his mouth dropped open and a low groan left him. He was embedded in me, all the way to his hilt, and I lifted up only to go back down. I went slowly at first, enjoying the rub of him, but then sped up, rolling my hips forward and backward. I arched my back as I kept going. God, I loved this. The feel of him deep inside me, the pleasure rolling through me in waves as I kept going. His hand covered one of my breasts and he lifted so his mouth could catch first one of my nipples and then the other. He was tasting me as I kept riding him. I started going harder, faster. I was nearing my climax. He grunted, his hands flexing into my hips as if he was going right with me. He was slamming me down to him almost ruthlessly.
Fuck,
he growled, and I was flipped onto my back. He didn't wait for me to adjust again. He slammed into me, and this time he didn't stop or let up. He was almost rough as he pounded into me, but I wanted it. I was thriving on it. My entire body was awake, and I wanted him to keep going. Then, as he held me still and kept driving hard into me, I almost screamed. I hurtled over the edge. My whole body climaxed at once, and I went mad. I was trembling, shaking, quivering. He paused, waiting until the wave lessened, and once he saw I was sated, he grinned lazily down at me.
You ready for me?
I groaned and wrapped a hand around his neck. I'm ready. And I held on as he pounded into me for his own pleasure. As he neared, he paused, and then ground into me for a moment before he thrust again. His movements turning jerky as he swelled and climaxed, his body going taut right before he slumped over me. Holy. I ran a hand down his back, savoring the feel of him over me and in me. This had been nothing like my drunken mistake. I curved against his body, my lips against his neck as I smiled. He laughed, leaning into my kiss as he curled a hand around my waist and dragged me into the water. We both went under, but the water was warm from the hot spring. He dislodged from me. I went to the surface first, and then his hands caught my waist. We played after that. He dunked me, I dunked him. I was the better swimmer, so I could evade him if I wanted, but he had a better reach on me. He caught my ankle, pulled me back to him, and it wasn't long before he was inside me again. Chapter 20. Morgan. It was close to dawn when I woke. Brody was half on top of me, his head curled into my neck and his arm heavy around my waist. We'd fallen asleep like this, lying on the bank beside the water after I dug down, putting some heated coals beneath us and covering those with enough dirt to protect us. Grabbing some blankets from a hidden stash, we settled in. It was cozy where we were, but I knew it'd be cold once I peeled back the blankets. I looked at him, needing a fast way to get him back to safety. I didn't want to leave him, but I had to. I edged out, pulling on my clothes from the night before. They were damp with dew, but they would dry within an hour. Once I got my sandals on, I edged out from the hot spring. I started running down the path, and I whistled for Shiloh. I kept going. She must have gone back to the herd, but I kept whistling for her. I'd been jogging for 30 minutes before I heard her behind me, and because it was like second nature for me, I weaved to the side. She came up beside me and I reached up, pulling myself to her back. Once I was settled, she could sense my intensity. I clicked my heels in and she took it as permission. She kicked up her speed until she was full bore going ahead. We skipped the wood trails, choosing to run alongside a cliff's edge instead. There was enough clearing beside the rock where she could go comfortably, knowing there wouldn't be a hidden log or hole in the path. As she ran, I leaned back. I spread my arms wide, and as her mane was flying behind her, so was mine. I'd never felt more alive than I did in that moment. This was the world I loved. Moments like these, where it was just she and I and our perfect understanding of each other, were what I lived for. She wanted to run, and I wanted to feel like I was flying. We stayed on the ridge for as far as we could, dipping into the woods again once we neared the main lodge. I knew domestic horses had been brought in, and I didn't think they would mind if I snuck one out, especially for the star. We drew up to the end of the field and I jumped off Shiloh. I scrambled over the fence and then ran the length up to the barn. I would need a halter this time. Once inside the barn, I eyed the saddles, not knowing if he would need one, but knowing I didn't have time to grab one, I kept going. Part of me churned at the idea. In the truest sense, they weren't supposed to be strapped down with saddles. Grabbing a halter and lead rope, one long enough for him to hold on to, I studied all the horses. A few didn't want me there. Their nostrils flared. They could smell the wild on me. But one didn't huff or back away. Her eyes were the gentlest I'd seen in a long time. I slipped the halter on, then the lead, and took her out of her stall. Once we were free of the barn and I had shut the door behind us, I tried to swing onto her back. Unfamiliar with the move, the mare shifted away from me and I had to try again. Only Shiloh and Shoal knew my routine. But once I was on her, I made the clicking sound and urged her ahead. There was no opening at the fence, so I had to get her going at full speed. Once we were close, I pulled her head back and she followed my signals. She jumped, her body clearing the fence easily. Shiloh fell in step beside us, following us all the way back to where Brody was still sleeping. Except, he wasn't. He was walking on the path, his shirt hanging over his shoulder and his shorts and shoes on. He was looking down at his phone, frowning, and only looking up when he heard us coming.
"Holy shit!"
I circled him with the horse before I slid down to the ground and handed him the rope. "You know how to ride, right?" I saw him earlier on a horse, but I didn't know his comfort levels about a longer ride. A gurgled laugh rippled from his throat. He was gawking at the horse, which had started to shift around, feeling his nervousness. I frowned. "Brody, I saw you before. You were riding." He shot me a look.
"I've ridden you."
I flushed. "You know what I mean. You'll need to ride back. It's a long way." He grinned, his eyes darkening at me.
"I know. Sorry. I rode a long time ago when I was a kid. I agreed to talk to some therapist who's coming today. He or she's going to use horses for therapy."
"Really?" He nodded, eyeing the horse again.
"What's his name?"
"Her," I frowned. "I wouldn't ever get you a stallion or a stud to ride. Gelding, yes, but not them."
"Yeah."
He laughed shortly, raising a hand to the horse's neck.
"Hey, buddy. Hey, hey,"
he said to me.
"I have no clue what you just said. I'll be honest, they all look the same to me."
Seeing a horse fly, I swatted it away. Shiloh snorted, shifting sideways to avoid it as well.
"What?"
Brody jerked around, alarmed. I flashed him a quick grin. "She's just calling you a dumbass." He looked at me.
"Horses can't understand what we're saying. You can't convince me of that."
"She can feel emotions."
"Oh."
He quieted, looking back to the horse I brought him. She was a beautiful chestnut body and mane.
"Okay, I guess."
He nodded to her.
"You and me, huh? I suppose we'll get to know each other eventually."
He looked at me, motioning to her back.
"How do I get up there?"
I eyed him up and down before doing the same to her. She was giving me a look that said, "Please don't let him hurt me." I patted her on the neck, crooning, "No, no, I won't." I pressed my forehead to hers, reassuring her I had good intentions. She sensed my calmness and her body visibly shook as she settled. I took the lead rope from Brody and motioned to a rock jutting out over the path farther down. "You can get up there, and I'll bring her along in front of you. You can get on her that way." He looked back at her.
"She isn't settled."
"Are you joking?" He flushed.
"You grew up like this. Being around horses is more normal to you than being around people, I get that. But it isn't for me. I'm used to people and cars and motorcycles."
He gestured to the chestnut mare, who had a wary look in her eye again.
"I can do sex. I'm very good at sex. But as far as riding another living creature like a horse, it's been a different ballgame for me."
"I've seen you ride for the movie. You handled everything like you knew what you were doing." He smirked.
"That's called acting. It's what I'm damned good at. And that wasn't long term. Those horses were trained. They knew to take me from spot A to spot B and not to buck me off on the way."
I sighed. I was going to have to ride her with him, and I gestured to the rock. "Go. It'll be fine." He didn't move.
"I have no problem walking back."
I gestured again, my hand flicking more impatiently. "I said go. Get on there." As he sighed and then climbed onto the rock, I gently pulled myself up onto her back. Motioning her forward, I lined her up in front of him.
"You're riding her too?"
"I have to, or it'll take 2 hours to get you back. We're 7 miles away." He gulped.
"For real? 7 miles?
I nodded, indicating behind me. "Just gently climb on." As he did, he lined his body up behind mine, and his arms wrapped around my waist. "Don't sneak any feels. I could react and she might drop us both on the ground." I didn't add how I doubted she'd do that. He didn't need to know that. He nodded, but his hand dipped under my shirt. His head dropped and I felt his lips graze my neck as he said,
"I'll do my best."
But as we started off, his hand didn't stay still. He had it under my pants and resting at the edge of my underwear before we'd even traveled a mile. By the second mile, his finger was inside me and I was leaning all the way back against him. Somehow the mare got us back, but I had to admit that I hadn't done much of the steering. He brought me to a climax, a slow and smooth and sensual one, so my body was softly shaking once the chestnut stopped by the fence. His lips skimmed the side of my neck.
"Well, that was the best horse ride ever."
I groaned. "I told you not to touch me like that." His grin turned cocky when I motioned for him to get off the horse. He slid down, dropping the last couple of feet to the ground.
"Yeah, you totally gave me that impression when you opened your legs wider for me."
I barked out a laugh but caught up the reins in my hand. I clicked, turning the chestnut back again. "Stand back. I have to jump her." I signaled for her to go farther. We'd need a running start.
"What?"
I nodded to the end of the fencing. "The only opening is up ahead by the barn, but not down here. I got a jumper to get her in there." He was starting to climb over the fence when I turned her back and kicked her into full gallop. She cleared the fence easily, and instead of waiting for Brody, I rode her all the way to the barn as Brody followed on foot. I put her in the stall, watered her, and was brushing her down by the time he entered behind us. Waiting until I was done, he just stood, watching. I'd done this act so many times it was second nature. I'd taken care of horses when other people were in the barn with me. But it felt different this time. Maybe it was because we were intimate last night, or even the ride here. Or maybe it was Brody himself. For whatever reason, as I brushed the mare down, as he stood and watched, and as we both didn't say a word, it felt like one of the most intimate moments I'd endured. My nerves were stretched tight, and I didn't want to question if that was a good thing or not. I just knew that I wasn't surprised when Brody grabbed my hand once I was done. He began to lead me toward the door. I started to go with him, My body was saying yes all over again. But I cleared the fog and dug my heels in. We were going fast. Too fast. Right? I asked. What are you doing?
Taking you to the cabin. I have a bed there. A soft bed.
I was torn. I wanted to, but it was becoming too much, too intense, too quickly. I pulled my hands free. I shouldn't.
Why not?
I shook my head. Tucking my hand behind my back, I began edging backward. I just can't. It's a lot. I'm sorry.
But
his expression twisted in confusion.
I want you beside me.
He stepped toward me again.
I want to hold you.
I wanted that too, and we'd have that, but not here. Not in his cabin. Not so close to where I felt the world was trying to pull me back into its folds. I reached for the door behind me. I can't. I opened it and slipped outside. Before I shut it, I said quickly, I'll come back. Then I shut the door and ran back to where Shiloh was waiting for me. She had followed behind us, as I hoped. When I climbed over the fence and onto her, I looked back. Brody was standing inside that door watching me. I paused, but I didn't wave. He didn't either. And feeling myself hardening inside, I dug my heels in. Shiloh didn't need another signal. She tore off and we veered back to the cliff's edge again, both of us feeling as if we were flying moments later. Except this time, it didn't feel as free.
Chapter 21. Brody. I got laid and rejected, all within 24 hours, and was propositioned by my therapist. I thought that was against your code of ethics or something. She smiled coyly, cocking her head to the side and fluttering those eyelashes at me. I fought against rolling my eyes. It wasn't the best come-on I'd witnessed. It wasn't the worst, but it was among them. She was stroking the horse's lead rope as if she were wishing it was my cock, or maybe she thought it looked seductive. It didn't. I'm not really a therapist. I studied counseling, got into graduate school, and then took a job at a horse ranch. I never finished my degree, but my boss hired me because of work experience. Said my internship was enough. They just can't bill you like a normal client, so voila. I'm not tied down to the same ethics normal therapists are. Of course. That seemed like something that had happened to me. Getting a counselor that's not a counselor at all. I think karma was trying to tell me something. She leaned forward, making sure her cleavage was on full display. I eyed the horse behind her. He'd been eyeing her too, stomping his foot in agitation. I narrowed my eyes and corrected myself. A mare. Morgan said most of these were mares. Any geldings in here? She paused, her eyebrows dipping together, but then she nudged the horse back into her stall. She closed the door and followed along as I walked past all of them. There were a good 10 horses in the barn, maybe more. She looked around and shrugged. I don't know, actually. Matthew Kellerman got these from the Coral Ranch just down the road. They breed mostly quarter horses. I don't think they'd loan out a gelding, though. They'd keep those back. She gestured to the wilderness beyond the field and fence. Just to be safe, and everything has to be locked up tight. Want to make sure no mares run off with the herd. Really? Yeah, especially with that stallion. He's the most male stallion I've ever seen. Not a mild temperament. I stopped and focused more on her. What do you know about the herd? Are you from around here? She nodded. I grew up here, came back instead of going to that grad school, and I just know what everyone around these parts knows. They're protected by the government, though the government is thinking about rounding them up, and there's legislation that might get them slaughtered. No, no way. That'd devastate Morgan. Seeing my look, she rushed out, but don't worry. I doubt that'll happen to these guys. The Kellermans have been letting them roam these lands all their life, but they're dangerous. I mean, they're true wild horses. Don't get one cornered. They'll fight back. They could kill a person. She began walking toward the front of the barn, and almost as an afterthought mentioned, I mean, except for the youngest Kellerman. I froze, but she was too busy laughing to notice. If she even exists? She was reaching for the door. I clapped a hand over the knob, stopping her. Her head jerked up, and I smiled, using my best seductive swoon there was. What do you mean, if she exists? God, this therapist that wasn't a therapist. I didn't know her name. She was another female that blended in with all the other females in my life, but not Morgan. Morgan was special. Morgan was important. And now this pretend therapist was seriously getting on my nerves. She laughed, a nervous thread in her voice. Backing away a step, she tucked a strand of hair behind her ear and shrugged again. It's nothing, just a stupid joke. Morgan Kellerman? Yeah, it was the dad that killed her mom. My fake smile dropped. I clipped out, what? The dad. It clicked then, everything. It was even in the goddamn script. Karen was hiding from her first husband, Morgan's father. I looked out the back of the barn, half hoping that Morgan would be there, but knowing she wouldn't be. She was a damned ghost, and another piece of information fit into place about how much she must have needed to be a ghost. Her father. The therapist reached around me and opened the door so she could pass. On top of the murder, the little girl was in the woods. She stayed out there so long that there was an uproar. It was a big deal. There was a murder and then a huge search party all at the same time. The Kellermans organized a manhunt. Dogs were brought in, professional guides, trackers, you name it. It took a couple days to find her. She was curled up behind a log, sleeping soundly. She was perfectly fine. Even thought it was a game. Was there news coverage about that? She shrugged. Just the rumor mill. We don't have local news like that. There might have been a news article, but everyone knows that Mr. Kellerman had it all covered up, the murder, too. He didn't want any of it leaking. Doesn't like bad news spreading. Could hurt his big fancy empire, or whatever he runs. At least, that's what people around town say. My stomach was rolling over. Tell me more about that day when Karen was murdered. She studied me a second, her eyes flicking up and down. It's an inside joke about the girl being a myth. Everyone in town knows she exists. I mean, it's just something stupid we use to help with the tourists, you know? People like traveling up around here seeing if they can get a glimpse of the wild girl. We're all actually kind of protective of her. Worry etched in her eyes, and she flicked them up and down me. Don't go blabbing this shit to anyone else, okay? I was sick to my stomach. Morgan. I looked again. Dense forest covered the mountain. There was a river that led into a lake, crevices, ravines, cliffs. There was solid rock in some places and long billowy grass in others. Then there was a beautiful waterfall and a hot spring. She showed me all that treacherous beauty. She didn't hide out there. She lived out there. She thrived out there. She wasn't some mystery to be used to toy with the seasonal tourists, or even a story to be talked about. She was real. She was so goddamn real. You okay? What? The therapist had been watching me. She turned toward the forest, too. You see something out there? Nah, too much. Nothing at all. I'd seen everything. Well, anyway, she started for her car. You obviously don't have a problem with horses. I don't know why they had me come out, but if you need to talk to someone, you should probably see a real therapist. Yeah, I muttered, wanting nothing more than to ignore her as she turned back to me. I'll do that. And, could I get an autograph? Maybe a selfie with you? I shoved my hands into my pockets. Not a fucking chance.
Chapter 22. Morgan. It wasn't even a full day. I couldn't last that long. I felt his touch all day. I could feel how his lips slid down my throat, over my body, how I felt in his arms, the weight of him above me, the pressure of him filling me, how he gripped my legs and slid inside over and over again. I spent the day with Shiloh, but my mind was with him. He never left me. He was whispering to me, beckoning to me, pulling me back to him until I could no longer stay with the herd. I swung my legs off Shiloh and walked back to him. She started to follow me, but when she realized where I was going, she trotted up to me and dropped her nose onto my shoulder. I reached up, my hand rubbing over the front of her face where the gray faded to a soft white. I always loved the look on her, and I glanced up, looking into her eyes. She was watching me, a sadness there. She knew I was being pulled away. I flattened my hand and ran it all the way up into her mane. Dropping my forehead to rest over the bridge between her eyes, I sighed. So did she, lowering her head even more so we were almost on equal footing. Almost. She'd always tower over me, and I pulled back. I ran my hand through her mane again before moving over her strong cheek and down over her soft nose. I love you, girl. I bent my forehead back to hers. Sister to sister. But I needed to go to him. There was a stirring in me, and it was alien. But he would calm it. I knew he would because he'd been the one to awaken it. I turned back, and it wasn't long before I felt her absence. She'd returned to the herd. It was late when I climbed to his second-floor patio. He'd left the door open, but the curtain hung there to keep any bugs out. I walked through to his room. He was there, sleeping. His chest was rising and falling in a steady rhythm. A part of me was tempted to curl up on the floor. I would have been content just to listen to him sleep the whole night through. But then, as if sensing my presence, he woke. His breathing quieted and he sat up in bed.
Morgan?
His voice was alert, as if he hadn't been sleeping at all, but I knew he had been. You wake so alert. I couldn't see his eyes or mouth in the darkness, but I wanted to. I stepped forward, needing to know if he was smiling at what I said. He murmured.
I was hoping you'd come. I must have just dozed for a little bit.
Another step. This felt right. One more step. I was by his bed and able to see his eyes. I saw what he said was true. There was a look in them. He had been waiting for me. Silently, still looking into me as I was looking into him, he lifted his bed sheet and I curled up next to him. When his lips touched mine, it felt so much like the right thing to do that my heart broke a little. Something was changing. I didn't want it to, but I couldn't stop it. Because the thing changing was me.
Chapter 23. Matthew. He was at his desk when someone knocked. Come in. Finn opened the door. Got a minute? Always for you. He stood, gesturing Finn to come in. Close the door. His younger brother, who was usually carefree, seemed off. He'd been working as a developer for their father's company, a new branch for them, but even the high pressure of that job hadn't seemed to bother him that much. His brother had fallen in love. For the first time in a long time, Matthew had seen his brother truly happy. That look was gone. Matthew frowned. Tugging at his cuffs, he ran a thumb over each to make sure his cufflinks were in place. It was a habit he'd acquired years ago. What's going on? Finn motioned to his chair. You can sit for this. Matthew's smile tightened a little, but he tried to joke. Am I in trouble? Finn sat across from him, his legs stretched out toward him and his hands in his lap. Matthew took note of his body posture. This should be interesting. I want to know what's going on with Morgan. Matthew raised an eyebrow. Where is this coming from? Abby had been the one who wanted to know about Morgan, and always seemed close to tears every time her name was mentioned. He added, I wasn't aware Abby had been keeping you abreast of everything. She said that Morgan's been talking to Asher and that you've had cameras installed to watch the actor's place. It's been a week since he's gone on his sobriety stint, and Jennifer is coming to stay until the movie is wrapped. I want in on the loop. She and he have a history, and I don't need any surprises. Yes. Finn was abreast with everything, except one item. Matthew said, I had cameras installed to watch both entrances to his cabin. Morgan hasn't shown up on any of them. What? Finn jerked forward. Abby said she heard Morgan talking to Asher. Matthew held up a finger, continuing to speak. And once I heard that, I added another camera toward the patio on the second level. Morgan's shown up there every night, and she leaves every morning. She left almost every morning, Matthew corrected in his head. There were 2 days when she remained half the day. What? Finn barked out right before a wide smile spread over his face. He leaned back, relaxing once again. Ah, damn. Little sister's becoming almost human. Nice to know not even she's immune to the Hollywood bad boy, huh? He kept chuckling to himself, shaking his head. I'm happy for her. Yes. Matthew wasn't. Finn admitted. I was a little worried about Jen. Logically, I know I shouldn't be, but you know, it's ridiculous how girls fall over for him. Matthew's lips thinned. I'm sure Asher doesn't even remember it. He's dipped his dick in a fair share of women, hasn't he? True, but Finn wasn't alarmed. After they talked and Finn got a call and excused himself, and long after he left the office, Matthew was on edge. He pulled up the footage again. She was on Asher's lap, her lips fused to his. The image froze there. He stopped it, and he didn't need to see any more, but it was wrong. Everything about it was wrong. If Abby were happy for Morgan, if Finn was too, then it would be up to him to stop it, because that's what he had to do. He had to put an end to Brody Asher. Chapter 24 Brody Morgan slept beside me, her head resting on her arm and the bed sheet pulled over her waist. She was naked with me, and I ran a hand down her arm, knowing it tickled her a little, and snuck around to grab one of her breasts. I cupped it, loving how it fit perfectly in my hand. She was petite, so her breasts weren't too big, but I loved them. Leaning down, I took one in my mouth, my tongue swirling over the nipple. I felt her start to awaken, her entire body jerking. She rolled, her hand coming to my back. Her next sound was a soft groan. Good morning. The sun was starting to peak, but only just, so it was probably before 6. It was my first day back to work, and I had a scene in the afternoon. I knew Gail would be coming to check on me, but until then, I rolled on top of Morgan, my mouth switching to her other breast. Her hand went to my hip, and her fingers sank into my skin as I positioned myself at her entrance. I went in, pushing all the way. God damn. She felt so good, every fucking time. I closed my eyes, loving this feeling of my dick in her. It never got old. Every time I wondered if I'd start to get the used-to feel, but it never happened with her. I'd never experienced this before, wanting back in as soon as I was out of her. I felt her body warm to mine, molding against me, and her walls tightening around me. I dropped a kiss to her shoulder and then began to move. Her legs went around my waist and she rocked in tempo with me. I first worried since I hadn't used a condom and didn't pull out, but she laughed when I expressed the concern. She ran a hand down my chest then, saying, I can't have children. I caught her hand, asking, What? She nodded. I don't know why. I don't have a cycle like normal women. I think it's because of how I live, but it isn't something we need to worry about. Since then, I'd been raw the whole time, and we'd been having sex on the daily this week. As I slid back out, then right back in, I searched for her mouth. I wanted to touch those lips. I wanted to claim her both ways, and like all the other times, she was eager for me. She opened her mouth, her tongue searching for me right back. This whole week had been amazing. It wasn't just the sex. It was everything. She was with me every night. She was beside me every morning, staying on the days I could convince her Shiloh wanted mother-daughter bonding time with Shoal. Morgan laughed every time, knowing I was just bullshitting her, but she'd stay in the bed, her naked body wrapped around mine. There'd been no other therapist sessions. Gail checked in a few times, even coming to visit once. I saw the surprise when she looked at me. I hadn't been lying when I told her I was resting the whole time, and she'd been right. I had needed the week, but it wasn't because I was suddenly doing meditation and finding myself. It was because of Morgan. All of it was because of her. I felt my release coming, but I wanted to hold off. Pausing, I reached down and found her nub. I began rubbing my finger there, applying just enough pressure to drive her wild. It was like a magic button. I touched it, and Morgan started going nuts. I waited, caressing her, and when I felt her starting, I began thrusting harder. "Brody," she gasped, her body twitching under my hands. She arched her back, her neck exposed, and I clamped down, tasting her there. Holding her hip as an anchor, I pounded her harder, going all the way to the hilt, and then I felt my release. Holy fucking shit. I gasped, keeping myself above her. She ran a lazy hand up my arm, cupping the side of my face. She liked to watch me as I came. I didn't know why. Her thumb touched the corner of my mouth, and I grabbed it, nipping it with my teeth, rubbing my tongue around it. She laughed before pulling it out. Her hand went back down my back, her nails lightly skimming. I loved that. I felt like a damned cat, but it felt so good. Then, as my release left me, I laid down on her, letting her take almost my full weight. I worried about this, too, in the beginning. I didn't want to crush her, but she enjoyed it, or that was what she said. I never gave her my full weight, usually shifting to the side so it was mainly my chest and head on her. I wrapped my arms around her, and she began brushing my hair from my forehead. Those little ministrations, they always relaxed me further. I'd either fall asleep or get drowsy again, like I was this morning.
"You working today?"
I nodded, lifting just enough to look at her. I saw the cloud of wariness and shifted to the side so I was lying beside her. With my head propped up by my hand, my elbow on the bed, I reached out with my free hand to tap her chin lightly. "What's wrong?"
"Our time will be..." She hesitated. "It'll be different."
"Yeah." I caught her hand, lacing our fingers and resting them on her stomach. I began rubbing my finger over her, enjoying how even that small touch had her closing her eyes in contentment. "I'll just leave at random times, but trust me, I'll have to go on more runs if you don't come find me first." She groaned.
"Don't ever do that again. I was so mad at you."
I chuckled. "I enjoyed that night. Best sleep I've had for a year. I meant it." I slept better when she was beside me, and it didn't matter if we were outside or in this apartment, though I liked the clean sheets if I was given a choice. I reached up and ran my thumb down a wrinkle in her forehead. "What's really going on? I can tell you're stressed about something." Her eyes shot to mine. She was chewing on the corner of her lip.
"You're going to think I'm stupid."
"Never." I stared back at her. I wanted her to see how serious I was. "Tell me what's wrong. I'll fix it."
"That's the thing. I don't know if you can fix it. I've felt off, like something is wrong."
"Wrong? You and me?"
"No, not us."
Her eyes shifted. She was staring at the ceiling, but I knew she was lost in her thoughts.
"I've just been getting this feeling lately. Something bad is about to happen."
I pulled my hand away and sat up, tugging her with me so she was lying in my arms.
"What do you mean something bad is about to happen?"
A fierce need to protect her took over. This week hadn't been just amazing. It had also been terrifying at times. I worried every morning she left that I wouldn't see her again. And once she came back, I knew she'd go again. It was inevitable. I was relieved when I had her by me, but the horses and the wild really did call to her. She'd be in my arms, and we'd hear Shiloh neighing for her. A part of me didn't even blame the Mustang. She wanted her family with her. She wanted to make sure Morgan was okay. I would have done the same, but I saw that it wore on her. She wanted to stay with me, but she also wanted to go to Shiloh. Every time she chose me, a little lost look entered her eyes. There were times when she wouldn't know I was watching her, and I saw that look almost overtake her. She was yearning, missing the feeling of being out there.
The afternoon trips to Shiloh weren't doing it for her, but then she would look at me and the look would clear. A hunger would appear in her eyes that matched my own. We'd start kissing, other times so much more. I ran a hand over her arm and then down between the V between her breasts before I cupped her. This felt right. Every time I could hold her, touch her, I was fine. I ran a hand down the underside of her arm, caressing her. I never brought up her mother or what the pseudo-therapist told me, though it was in the back of my mind. I kept waiting for her to talk about it. She never did. And I was unwilling to push her, but I felt like I had to now. What about your mom? Her body grew heavier again as she turned her eyes to mine. My mom? I nodded. It's the whole reason I'm here, Morgan. You never talk about her. There's nothing to say. She died. I cleared my throat. I was about to ask a prodding question, but she started on her own. Her voice was quiet again, small, like she was embodying the little girl she'd been then. They don't think I knew what happened when they found me, but I did. I knew that he killed her. I went still. He? The monster. Her voice went flat, hollow. I never knew my father. My mom left him before I was born, so I didn't know who he was then, but it wouldn't have mattered. I still would have run. He was there to cause harm. Her body tensed in my arms. I'd never felt so useless. How do you protect against a goddamn nightmare? My mom told me to hide, so I ran to Shoal. Her bottom lip jerked, but that was it. He searched the whole day for me. He left once, but he only moved his car so that they wouldn't know he'd been there. He parked it farther down the road, pulling off and hiding it behind some trees. He was searching for you? She said, almost dully. He looked until they started looking for me. I heard the search dogs barking, and it wasn't long after that when his smell left. Jesus, Morgan. I rested my cheek on top of her head. I'm so sorry. My arms tightened around her. I would have held her for the rest of the day, for the rest of her life. I didn't want to let her go, but she had a different idea. Hunger darkened her gaze, and she turned in my arms. She moved to straddle me, and I knew what she wanted when her lips found mine. She wanted to forget. I was sliding into her again moments later, but this time was different. Maybe I was trying to make sure we both forgot our haunts. Or maybe it was the first time I felt like I was making love to someone.
Chapter 25. Morgan. Brody's manager arrived to drive him to where they were shooting. I was in his room when she knocked outside and he dropped a quick kiss to me before going to let her in. As she entered, I exited, jumping down from the patio. Shiloh had been calling for me all morning, so I knew she'd be waiting. As soon as I climbed over the fence, she was there. I jumped on and she tore off. Our rides had been cut drastically over the last week, but not then. Not today. I wanted to ride with her. I wanted to feel as if we were flying. I felt her body rippling under me, mirroring my need. Too much time apart wasn't good for us, either of us. I lay against her back and rested my cheek on her neck, my arms wrapping around her, and I closed my eyes. Wherever she took me, I would be fine.
Chapter 26. Brody. Gail had been giving me a weird look since she had shown up at the cabin. After the 10th sneak peek, I sighed and looked over. What? She was pulling into the lot, and I watched as she parked behind a trailer. Nothing. I climbed out, grabbing my bag of extra clothes from the back seat. Shutting my door, I shot her a look back over the top of the car. That look doesn't say nothing. It says something. What's going on with you? She paused, resting her arm on the car. It's just, you look good, like really good. I only shrugged. I worked out a lot. I went on runs every day, and I did a whole bunch of meditation shit. You weren't drinking? I already told you when you checked on me and every time you called. No, no booze, I swear. I didn't even leave the property. You bought me enough food to last the week. No, I know. She held a hand up, as if she were going to back off. You look good. I'm proud of you. I noted dryly. I never had a drinking problem. I just drank too much.
Brody!
Shanna shouted my name. She waved, trying not to drop the clipboard she was holding, and Gail and I headed her way. Gail said, You drank too much for 8 months. I wanted to remind her why I started, but bit the words down. It didn't matter. In her eyes, it was time to get moving forward, and I needed to follow through. I signed a contract. I agreed to do this movie, and I was so damned grateful for it.
Brody!
Shanna said again, opening her arms and engulfing me in a hug. She clasped me to her, patting my back twice.
It's good to see you.
Shit, you look good, real good. She held me at arm's length, holding onto my biceps. You're right, Gail. He looks 100% better. Whatever you did, it worked. You look like the actor we hired for this movie and not a washed-up drunk. Damn time.
Thank you.
There were so many smart-ass comments I could have made then, but I refrained. No more drinking?
No more drinking.
Shanna glanced to Gail, who nodded. That's what he said, and it seems to be the case. I leveled them both with a look.
You guys are so trusting, I'm amazed.
Shanna laughed, patting me one last time before gesturing back toward the cameras. We had to rearrange the schedule. Did you get the updated script? I nodded. Gail dropped it off when she checked on me.
Fabulous.
Shanna waved over my shoulder. Your trailer is behind you, and you have 30 minutes before your scene starts. Now scoot, we've wasted enough time. We only have so much sunlight.
I didn't need the 30.
15 minutes later, Kara and I were running lines until Shanna signaled for us to start filming. I checked my watch. It was exactly another 15 minutes later. Shanna was punctual, which was a benefit because everything had to run smoothly or our shooting time would have lasted until the next day. Instead, she called the final cut for the night 10 hours later. It was around 8 in the evening. I was doing the math. I could run home and head out for a run if I needed to find Morgan, but when I headed back for Gail's car, Kara stopped me.
What are you doing tonight?
She picked up her pace to match mine. I was ready for the pickup line or the sultry smiles, but neither came. She'd also been professional the whole day of shooting. I was planning on heading back and going for a run. Her eyebrow rose. She smoothed a hand down her hair, flicking out a piece of grass.
The crew and I were heading to Juan's. It's a Mexican restaurant in town. They have good chips and salsa. Want to come?
I started to decline, but there was an extra look in her eyes. It wasn't one that I'd seen before, and it gave me pause. I wanted to see Morgan, but having good relationships with co-workers was another leaf I should turn over. I flashed her a grin. No bar? She ducked her head, the back of her neck reddening as she shrugged.
We're trying to be supportive of you.
I had to go.
Yeah, I'm down.
I turned to Gail, who joined our conversation.
How about it, boss?
She barked out a laugh.
Ha!
You can have a margarita. I won't be tempted. I winked at her.
Promise.
Her laughter faded. She grew more serious, the old hawk-like look entering her eyes.
Okay, but if you start craving some booze, you tell me right away. I'll leave with you.
The only thing I'd be craving was Morgan.
I'll be fine.
Her elbow playfully nudged my side.
All right, let's head to town.
Kara asked,
Could I get a ride with you guys?
Yeah, yeah.
Gail waved toward the car. She hollered back, We can take one or two more. And in the end, the actress who played Peter's sister, one of the production assistants, and Kara rode with us. They'd sectioned off a private area in the back of the restaurant, and when I stepped inside, I felt like a thankful asshole. Thank God I had come, and an asshole because this whole thing was for me. A large sign that read, Welcome back, Brody, hung from the ceiling against the far wall. Most of the crew was already there, and when they spotted us, they started clapping and whistling.
You guys.
A large smile spread over my face. I couldn't take this in. This was planned for me? One of the actors came forward.
If you didn't come, we were just going to pull the sign down.
It was a last-minute idea. He nodded to Kara. I turned to her. Yours? An almost shy smile peeked out. I just wanted to be supportive.
Yeah, the camera guy held up his glass. All water.
I laughed,